Hockey Central at noon on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Back at it on a Monday, Kelly Kirsch, Logan Gorton, 60 Minutes on Ice, right here on Sportsnet 960, The Fan. Busy show today. We'll find out who won the qualifying round in our crazy hockey pool that we have got going on with Iconic Electric and Controls, and maybe hear a little bit from Flames GM Brad Treliving as he joined Eric Francis and Will Nault earlier today. But let's start the show like we always do. Talk to Lou.
Flames insider Peter Loubardias, brought to you by the Gemini Group. Imagine your life, your style. Your home renovation should be a reflection of you. Give your home the Gemini difference. Visit GeminiGroup.ca.
Well, Peter, it is the Dallas Stars. We found out about 4 o'clock or so yesterday afternoon. I guess, you know, most people seem to think if you got to pick one of the four teams, which you didn't, that Dallas may be the one that you would pick for a matchup, but maybe not so fast. Your thoughts on the Flames heading into a best of seven in the first round of the Stanley Cup playoffs against the Dallas Stars?
Well, Kelly, I would say that, including myself, if I had a choice, thought about how the teams match up against one another, absolutely. And I must admit that there may have been a couple of fist pumps at the end result yesterday, because St. Louis, just when I think about their lineup and their experience and how they match up, I definitely feel like Dallas was the best matchup. But what did we learn last year, Kelly? A lot of people, didn't we think that the Colorado Avalanche were going to be the best matchup? Well, that didn't work out very well. No. And the reason it didn't work out very well is because the Calgary Flames, I truly think their mindset wasn't where it needed to be. And they ran into a Nathan MacKinnon-led juggernaut, a team that used its speed to defend, detail-oriented, and the Flames were basically reeling, certainly if not in game one, from game two on. And it really was not a contest. Now, the good news is the Calgary Flames, with four games, just showed us that they're capable of doing different. They were a team that wasn't always known as a team that could turn things up physically, be harder to play against, be detail-oriented defensively. But they won every battle against Winnipeg, albeit the Jets were not with all their best people. But don't take anything away from the Flames. They won the special teams battle. They had collective scoring. Sean Monahan, who I'm going to dig into a little further in just a couple of minutes, he led the way offensively. Cam Talbot was absolutely superb in goal with his 1.51 goals against and his .945 save percentage. And Kelly, for one series, this team showed us that they were prepared to do different, that they had learned lessons. They went from a team that during the course of the regular season had 18 hits per game. They had 30 hits per game. They gave up 32.5 shots a game during the regular season. This team gave up 27.5. All I saw everywhere from a ton of different people was growth. And they deserve a lot of credit. They really do. Now, that's gone.
Yeah,
that
doesn't matter now.
The playoffs, it doesn't matter. Now, you're going to take on Jamie Benn. You're going to take on a talented Dallas team, big, physical, like the Flames. They have some really good young players that maybe you haven't thought a lot about. A guy by the name of Dennis Gurianov to start with. They've added experience in Corey Perry and Joe Pavelski. You know, and Ben and Sagan, they probably have two of the most talented players in this series. But it's about the Calgary Flames. And it's about the Flames being at their best. And I heard it from Jeff Ward on Saturday about the challenges of managing going. Kelly, it's, we always talk a lot about how do you manage the bad stuff. Well, you know what? It can be just as hard to manage the good stuff. And Jeff was asked a Saturday, he talked about that, no, that's not easy, because, again, it's become kind of the phrase of the playoffs, thanks to Marty Jelena, you do have to rinse and repeat. And now your focus has got to be on getting right back to where you left off. And Jeff, was asked whether he feels like his team is managing the time well.
Right now, the first series is over. We're not even thinking about it. We're trying to prepare ourselves for the second series. So that's really where the focus of our group is. Our group is happy, you know, with what we were able to accomplish in the first round. I think we feel good about where we're at as a team, but we're certainly not satisfied. And we understand that we've got a huge challenge ahead of us moving into the next round, and we want to be ready for that. And that's exactly where the group is sitting in terms of their focus, in terms of getting prepared.
There we go. Coach Jeff Ward from earlier yesterday. I want to kind of double back a little bit on what we saw in these round-robin games, Lou. And to be honest with you, I didn't watch a bunch until this weekend. And I saw a big chunk of Vegas and Colorado and a big chunk of Dallas and St. Louis. Do those games have the same pop that that you thought they would have? Because they didn't look to me like they had the same pop that the qualifier best of five had. It just didn't seem that way.
Kelly, I don't really think you can probably get to the urgency level until there is more urgency. And I think it's an incredibly difficult sell in terms of how you were seeded. And good teams understand that what is it really about? It's about being at their best when it matters. And the round robin is nice and sets you up and can give you last things. I'd actually say to you, Kelly, I look at those two games differently.
Okay.
I thought the Colorado-Vegas game is one of the best hockey games I have seen in quite some time.
Really?
Yes. Those two teams for me showed that they're at a bit of a different level, at least from all the games I watched. Now, in terms of how you analyze and whether there's great bite, okay, maybe not the intensity in some ways, but in St. Louis, I saw a team in three games in the round robin. They look like they're just trying to find their way. And I kind of felt the same way about Dallas, too. So, yes, I completely understand why, you know, I don't think you can get to the urgency level until there actually is urgency level. I do. I think it's hard to manufacture, but I couldn't take my eyes off that Vegas-Colorado game because I just saw incredible skill. I did see great will. It mattered. It went to overtime, required a great shot. In my estimation, those are the two best teams, just when I watch hockey and I assess, that I've seen so far. And as you mentioned, for me at least, maybe not for you, they got to this point and it hasn't even meant anything yet. So what's it going to be like when they do add that next gear?
Yeah, that's what I'm curious to see. And I guess we'll find out starting tomorrow. It is Hockey Central at noon right here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. I'm Kelly Kirschies, Peter Labardius, and Logan Gorton.
Well, Lou, we got the last of the qualifying round done yesterday, and it was a scene all too familiar for Maple Leafs fans. The Columbus Blue Jackets just go out and do what the Columbus Blue Jackets do. Interesting series to end on, and now we're off to round one. What did you make of the game last night, and looking forward to round one?
Let me throw it back at you. Where do you think I'm going to go with what I saw transpire in the Leafs-Columbus series?
I don't think you like the Buds defense, hey? I don't think you're going to be down with that.
No, you know what I didn't like?
What's that?
I don't like the narrative, Kelly. I don't like the narrative in a few places with a few teams. Because you know what I observed in that series? Like a number of others? That will beat skill. Whether it was Montreal, Pittsburgh, whether it was Toronto, whether it was Edmonton, I think the narrative is, in order to win, your best people have to be accountable to doing it all right. And that's my own take. It really is. Because always the narrative seems to be is that the skill people don't get enough support. Okay, that's fine. I can buy some of that. But how about the most talented team in the Columbus-Toronto series, 5-on-5, gets outscored 10-3? Is that a big skill advantage? Where is it? Now, granted, that's about it plays a part in goaltending. But Kelly, when do the hard questions get to be asked?
Yeah.
About a lot of the same guys have been here 2, 3, 4 years in a row and can't get over. When does that get asked? Yes, yeah. Talking about defense, I think Toronto in some ways lost one of the most important guys that they couldn't afford to lose, and Jacob Muzzin. And A, because he's a great defender, but more importantly, guess who on that team has been there and done that and won? Him. But if you're, like, this might sound harsh, and I have no trouble saying it today. If you're going to pay talented people $11.5 million apiece without them even earning one playoff series, what are you teaching? What are you teaching? You value talent. We all need talent. We all value talent. Everywhere in the world, talent gets a break. We better make talent accountable. And that's my narrative. So, again, you can argue all you want, and that's fine. But until I see teams doing different with talent, the Columbus Blue Jackets outworked them. They were the better group. They defended their tails off. And you want to talk about a team that had to rally? You want to talk about great coaching? Let's talk about this. Could you suffer a more devastating loss than the Columbus Blue Jackets did in Game 4? Could you?
That was tough to watch.
It was tough to watch. But did John Tortorella and the Columbus Blue Jackets, did it sink them? No, because they understood that, A, for 55 minutes, they were better, and their focus and their mindset was exactly where it needed to be. And you know what? John Tortorella is not the warmest, fuzziest guy. Would I say that at times he handles his business with the media very well? No. But John Tortorella proves time and time again. What did his team do to the more talented Tampa Bay Lightning last year?
Yeah. Swept them.
Swept them. Now they're going to have a shot at him.
And they just did it again to an arguably more talented team because of their work and because of their leadership and because of their guidance. That's how they did it. And John is about one thing. Does he care about what I think or you think or anybody that in the media?
No chance.
You know what he cares about? His family. And that's his team. And his job is to get that group ready. He got them ready. And they executed. And I have to absolutely 100% applaud.
Well, and it's an interesting parallel you made there. And you went right to it, and it was the skill versus will conversation that we had here before the Flames-Jets series even started, Lou. And the lessons having to be learned here in Calgary that just aren't being learned in Toronto.
The Calgary Flames are playing more hockey because they were challenged to do different. And to their credit, you know what they went out and did, Logan? They did different. And even when you talk about Sean Monahan's a great example, okay? Sean Monahan scores a lot of goals, and it's so easy to look at Sean that way. And sometimes we want Sean to be a Nathan MacKinnon or what some people would, or an Austin Matthews or a Connor McDavid. Sure. In some ways we'd like that. But isn't all we can ask of other people for them to keep growing and getting better? So here's just a quick example, okay? So first he leads the team tonight, so that's nice. But his minutes were down because the fact of the matter is with this team right now, and it's one of the reasons I'm not a big person to number lines, I think the Michael Backlund line, you want to call them the top line, most important line, most responsible line, I think they're there. But guess what? It takes a team to win hockey games and have advantages. Sean Monahan, think about this stat. Sean Monahan last year in the playoffs against the Colorado Avalanche, when the team was on the power play, took 11 power play faceoffs and won 6. This year, and I think you guys would both agree, the power play was a pretty big part of the Flames beating the Winnipeg Jets. So it gave them an advantage. Sean won 16.5 faceoffs. He had 3 power play points. But what's really important to me is the trust and the growth. If you go from taking 11 faceoffs to 25, remember, guys, that 2 years ago they put in a rule. And the rule is when you start on the power play, you get to decide what your strong side is. Well, last year in the playoffs, that was split down the middle between Elias Lindholm, a strong side, right-handed shooting face-off player, and Sean Monahan. You know what the split was in this series? 25-2. Does that not show some growth in Sean?
Confidence that the team has, yep.
And as we hear from Sean, I asked him on Saturday, the one thing that I noticed when I came back to cover training camp is I've heard John say a lot of the right things, but there was more conviction in his voice. It truly sounded to me like he was ready to do different. So I asked him on Saturday, for him, what is different this time around?
Yeah, for me personally, it's, I've been with Calgary 7 years now, and we haven't accomplished much. So, I mean, it, like I said, we're here to win. We're trying to prove ourselves that we can be a team and a competitive team in this league. And, I mean, as a hockey player, you're competitive, and, I mean, you want to win. So, like I said, we're here not just to show up. We're here to try and win. And, I mean, if you look at our team play, I think everybody's bought into that that same recipe.
That's the story, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. He sounds different in those clips, doesn't he, than he did last year?
He does sound different. He's I truly believe, Kelly, you've been a boss for a long time. You sit down with people in meetings all the time. Isn't there a difference between somebody who really, really hears or just listens to you?
Yeah. It's everyone is, that's the biggest thing about being a manager is knowing the differences in each person and where they're coming from.
Yeah. And we can all hear it, all of us, including myself. But what are you kind of willing to do different? Well, Sean has shown that he's done different. And then the other thing that I think is important is we hear from Jeff Ward, and he wasn't talking about Sean directly. But we get in trouble sometimes when we assess because we want people to be something they're not. But listen to how Jeff feels about his team and his individual players, because I think this is really important.
And with all our players, all we ask them to do is just play their game. You know, we're not asking them to do things that they don't feel comfortable with. We're not asking them to do things that they certainly is not in their game whatsoever. We're not asking them to do one specific thing and not worry about other things. We're just talking to them about playing their game, being comfortable playing their game. So no matter where that is in the lineup, that's what we expect that you bring.
Interesting.
Interesting. If everybody does their job in any team, does it well, you care more about the team than just your own agenda, but you have to be true to yourself, some pretty awesome things can happen. And whether it's the Toronto Maple Leafs or others, if your team play you can have the better individuals, but if your team play isn't good, that's why I love team sport and have since I was littler than I can even remember, is because it's about the sum of the parts. One of my favorite lines, and I feel more strong about it today than I ever have, in sports, you don't win necessarily with the best people. You win with the right best people. And there's a difference.
There is a difference, and we'll find out starting tomorrow as, the Flames get it on with the Dallas Stars. An early start, so we'll be doing the Flames warm-up at 2:30 and play-by-play on the air online on your smart speaker at 3:30. So we've had all kinds of different things here in 2020, so here we go in August. We're going to have a game at 3:30, so why not? I'm down with whatever we have. Doesn't matter.
It's not a terrible time slot for us.
No, I think it's going to be just fine. Lou, I wanted to talk about this craziness we got coming up at 4 o'clock. It's Draft Lottery Part 2, and we found out that these teams that were in the qualifying round, the losers, all got put into a pile, and essentially one of those teams is going to get one kind of blue chip prospect. And I wanted you to talk a little bit about Alexis Lafreniere. And tell us why and where he slots. I know we did this a while ago, but I think now people are starting to pay attention. People are asking us on the text lines, well, how come not Detroit's not in there? And what happened to Ottawa? It's like, that was all decided except for the number one pick. So that's what's happening tonight at 4 o'clock. But give us a sense of just how good this prospect from the Quebec League is.
Well, Kelly, for me, he has pretty much the whole package. Although I'm always scared to put somebody on a pedestal when they've never played one single game in the league. But there isn't anything that Alexi Lafreniere can't do. He skates. He can play with an edge. He makes plays. He can score. He makes people around him better. I've had two great chances to really watch and study him in depth. And that was with my own two eyes at the 2018 Hlinka Gretzky Cup, where he captained Canada to a gold medal. And as that tournament went on and games got better, by the end of it, he was the best player. And that's not easy to do. When you're the absolute best player in your age group, that matters. But he did something even more special for me at Christmas time. He was in his second World Junior Championship, different role. And I thought, if this guy can show in this event that he's the best guy and can lead a team in part to a gold medal, now this is the time I'm going to watch, because that requires a lot. And in our country, that requires an extra. That's a lot of weight to put on somebody. Well, Kelly, not only did he do that, but there's another facet to it. Remember, he got hurt during the tournament, and some would question, because it was his draft year, maybe it wouldn't be the best idea for him to come back. But you know what he cared about? He cared about one thing: helping his team win a gold medal. And he came back, and I could tell in the first two shifts after he came back from injury, this guy was all in. Canada wins gold. His hands, legs, feet, shin pads, shoulder pads were all over it. And I judge when it's hard. And this guy, when it was really hard, he didn't shy away. He didn't pick the easy way. He picked the hard way. And those are the kind of people that I want to build my team with.
Okay. Who's he like? Like, compare him to a player that everybody would know. Who does he remind you of?
Who does he remind me of? I'm not as great at comparisons as some other people, because I always find that each individual is different. I see some Jamie Benn there.
Oh, really? Okay.
I see some Jamie Benn in there. But Kelly, he's to me a forward and a winger who gives you everything you could want from an elite centerman. The way he skates, the way he makes plays, he can do it physically. I think he is an absolute complete forward. He has it all. I truly believe that. He has it all. And I can't wait to see his journey. And I'm just hoping that there's a couple of places he doesn't end up to get a chance to show it to us.
Yeah, we'll have some fun with that in the next segment. Lou, going to be neat tomorrow, an early game, and we'll see what next. On tomorrow's hit, we're going to dig a little bit more into the Dallas Stars, so we'll get everyone to bone up on the Dallas Stars and what we need to know about them. Enjoy the rest of your day, and we'll see you here tomorrow.
Okay, sounds good. Have a great afternoon, everybody.
Flames insider Peter Loubardias, brought to you by the Gemini Group. Imagine your life, your style. Your home renovation should be a reflection of you. Give your home the Gemini difference. Visit GeminiGroup.ca.
All right. We've got lots going on here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. We'll get you an update on the old playoff pool with Iconic Electric and Controls and find out who was the qualifying round winner and see how things are stacking up as we get into round number one of four and all those prizes. I'll tell you, we'll talk to Kevin from Iconic coming up in just a little bit. I want to tell you, we want to hear from you. The Sportsnet 960 The Fan listener survey is up and ready for you. Just go to our events page at sportsnet.ca/960, fill it out, and let us know what you like, what you don't like, how we can improve, all that kind of stuff. We'll share the results once we get them towards the end of August. We'll take a break. We'll hear from Kevin, and Logan and I will get a little bit into this. I don't know. I think everybody knows who you don't want to win the number one pick for the draft in October. But who do you want to win? Who deserves it the most? Not where your heartstrings are going, but who deserves it the most? We'll talk about that next on Hockey Central at noon. Towards the end of August. We'll take a break. We'll hear from Kevin, and Logan and I will get a little bit into this. I don't know. I think everybody knows who you don't want to win the number one pick for the draft in October. But who do you want to win? Who deserves it the most? Not where your heartstrings are going, but who deserves it the most? We'll talk about that next on Hockey Central at noon.
The Calgary Flames are in the Stanley Cup playoffs. The city loves hockey. You want more Flames content? You got it. Sports Drive at 5. The big news, the lineup changes, the latest on the opposition, and more. On your drive home, it's Sports Drive at 5. Brought to you by Henninger Toyota, where playoff season means red tag savings. With payments on a new RAV4 for as little as $12 a day. Check out red tag deals at HenningerToyota.com. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Well, Calgary, these times are unlike anything we've ever seen. Everyone at Paradise Bay Hot Tubs wants to thank you for taking the necessary precautions to help keep others safe. They know they're not top of mind for you right now, but if you're looking to add soaking in a hot tub to your isolation protocol, Paradise Bay is still open for business. Visit their online store, place your order, and they'll deliver the supplies to you, free of contact, easy, and above all, safe. Paradise Bay Hot Tubs, at the corner of Deerfoot and Glenmore, or at GoParadiseBay.com.
If you find yourself wondering things like,
is life insurance expensive?
Then you're not alone. Book a check-in at rbcinsurance.com/book to let us help you get protected within your budget. RBC Insurance. We'll help you get it.
I can't believe this weather. Perfect for a run.
Absolutely. Did you check our distance on your new Apple Watch from TSC?
Wow, personal best. Must be these new Skechers. They're so comfortable. Delivered right to my door, and with Easy Pay, I shop my way.
And how's your new Bowflex elliptical?
Love it. That and my Bose headphones are my go-tos for home workouts.
Amazing. I got a KitchenAid bundle at TSC.ca. Which reminds me, I've got some bread in the oven.
Sounds delicious. Let's pick up the pace.
Today will surprise you. Shop TSC.ca. Today's shopping choice.
Want to discover this year's most innovative new products? Visit productoftheyear.ca. From the buzziest beauty products and luxe culinary finds to cutting-edge appliances and oh-so-good sweets, thousands of Canadians have voted for the most innovative new products for 2020. The world's largest consumer-voted award for product innovation that recognizes product design, functionality, and packaging. And the products that impressed are yours to behold at productoftheyear.ca.
Trending right now in Calgary.
The Stanley Cup qualifiers are officially over. Next up, round one of the Stanley Cup playoffs beginning tomorrow with four games, including game one between the Calgary Flames and the Dallas Stars. Puck drop set for tomorrow afternoon at 3:30 p.m. All your coverage right here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. But before the next round begins, there's one more piece of offseason business to take care of, and that's determining who holds the first overall selection in the upcoming NHL entry draft. All eight teams eliminated from the qualifiers enter today's lottery with an equal shot at the top pick. Draft lottery coverage starts at 4 p.m. We'll carry it live here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. And it's a rematch of the Eastern Conference Finals from last season when the Milwaukee Bucks and Toronto Raptors face off in Orlando today. Milwaukee has clinched first in the Eastern Conference for the second straight year. Tip-off set for 4:30 p.m. You can watch the game on Sportsnet West. You're listening to your home of Calgary Flames hockey. This is Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Trending now for Sportsnet. The fortunes of a franchise will change in an instant. See who wins the number one NHL draft pick. The NHL Draft Lottery, today at 6 p.m. on Sportsnet.
Hockey Central at noon on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
A little correction on that little tag that ran at the at 6 o'clock Eastern, which is 4 o'clock our time for the number one draft. We'll have it for you right here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Just wanted to clarify that for everybody. Hey, let's check out what's happening with our Iconic Electric and Controls and Sportsnet 960 The Fan playoff pool. The commissioner is with us. Kevin, how are you? Are you there? I can't hear Kevin. Yeah, just not happening right now. We got that going on. We've been having problems with our phones. I thought I just heard him right at the end. Anyway, so this is something we started before the playoffs. And basically, it's like one of those classic ones you'd have in the newspaper back in the 80s where they'd have like boxes of players and you'd pick a player in each box and then submit it. And who knows, you could be a winner. And we've got prizes for the qualifying round. We got the first, second, third, and fourth round, of course, the grand prize as well. We'll give this another try. That big, huge intro, we'll see. Commissioner, are you there, Kevin? How are you?
Yeah, coming in loud and clear, Kevin.
There we go. I'm awesome. How was your weekend, and how did you assess what happened with the qualifying round?
Well, being a Leafs fan, yesterday was kind of tough.
I am so sorry.
I won't dwell on that. I know not too many people are concerned, but I was happy on Thursday night when the Flames won, so that was a good thing. Happy to see that. Not overly heartbroken when I saw the Oilers eliminated. Actually, kind of happy about that. Yep. So yeah, all in all, not a bad weekend and kind of fun watching the stats go up and down and watching teams, jump 40 points in one day and then, you know, fall back 50 positions the next day because they didn't have people playing. So yeah, it was good to watch the 400 and something entrance. And
yeah,
the hockey's been great.
Yeah, we've had a bunch of guys, you know, a bunch of teams kind of enter this crazy contest, and you guys, you know, you put together the categories, and they're pretty fun, right? I mean, they're just different ones. And were there any things that that surprised you in those categories? Because we had kind of, it wasn't just, you know, top scorer and all that kind of stuff. We had all kinds of different categories that were kind of maybe smart-ass a little bit in some ways.
Sorry, going in and out. But, I think the, you know, watching some of the guys play, Lucic and Neil has been good so far. Obviously, we know who won that one.
Yep.
If you pick of Lucic, you're ahead by a point now. And whatever he gets moving forward in this round is only going to pad your stats further. And, taking anyone but Zach Cassian was obviously a benefit for a lot of people as well. And then the goalies, you know, if you weren't sure which way to go, you know, two shutouts for Columbus, that certainly helps. With points being assigned for shutouts, and even Toronto had one. What a crazy series that ended up being! It's been good so far to see some of the picks and how they've worked out for people for sure.
Okay, so we've got all these teams, but there can only be one winner in the qualifying round. And which team managed to get the most points for this first? It's probably, you know, about five rounds really when you think about it. But just this first one, who's our big winner?
Yeah, so GFG, which I'm assuming is Go Flames Go, from Gerald O'Coin, had 102 total points in the first round.
Whoa.
5 points ahead of second place. and about 1.12 points per player per game.
Okay. So. And is that team looking okay as we
he's got 19 players remaining, so I think that should be serviceable. There are some people. Mr. Pinder has 23 remaining on his team. But obviously no one has a perfect team going into the second round now because there's been some losses. But, you know, there's some people with single digit left. I think they're pretty much out of it, safe to say. But quite a few people with, you know, high to mid teens left. So I still think there's a lot of opportunity for people. And depending on how you made your picks, if you loaded up on one team or a couple of teams, yeah, you're going to have a bit of an advantage moving forward for sure.
And we'll see what happens with our round of 16 here and when they get her down to eight. And it's so fun, right, Kevin, because this is the summertime. It's August. And you know, there's all kinds of prizes you can have. But what is more poignant and perfect than a big chunk of meat, you know, a nice gift card from Backyard Meats to kind of grill up and barbecue while you're watching hockey, right?
Yeah, exactly. It's the weather's been great in Calgary. We've got a bit of a reprieve from the high heat that we were living with for a few weeks there. So looks like the rain's going to hold off. So perfect weather to be outside listening to the Flames on your radio if you choose to do that, with maybe a fire and your cooking method going.
Yeah.
And enjoying your friends and family at a safe and social distance.
Okay, so what's going to happen is we'll just keep going. We'll have you on after the first round. So that was the qualifiers. And we'll see what happens. And then eventually we'll get to the grand prize where we'll get that smoker from Paradise Bay and that big old gift card from Backyard Meats. And it's all made possible by you guys because you love hockey so much and you're such great partners with us. Tell us what's shaking at Iconic Electric and Controls these days.
Yeah, I mean, we're into the dog days of summer, as it were. There's typically a cycle to our business, and you know, we're keeping our heads down. People are, you know, enjoying some vacation, a bit of a break from what they've been living in normally. So yeah, we're just kind of grinding through it like a lot of people are in Western Canada these days, but, you know, remaining positive, optimistic, and enjoying sports, family, all that kind of stuff around us as best as we can.
Okay, Kevin, people ask me all the time, so what do those guys do at Iconic Electric Controls? So I'm going to say, Kevin, what do you guys do there?
Yeah, so, you know, in the name Electric and Controls, we're primarily an electrical construction company. We focus quite a bit on industrial work, oil and gas, midstream companies. But we do provide a full range of services across the electrical and instrumentation trades to our customers, as well as project management and turnkey services related to those disciplines of those skilled trade positions.
Okay. All right, before we let you go, I know you're kind of in mourning a little bit because the Leafs just weren't there for you.
I'll get over it.
But will you feel better if they pull your ping pong ball today and it's got a maple leaf on it?
My brother and I were talking about that. You know, I think if we get that ping pong ball and Mr. Dubas, you know, maybe makes a few moves to manage some of the emotion and heart that isn't on the team right now, I'd be pretty okay with that. At this point, you know, seeing 16 years of not getting past the first round or even making the playoffs in some of those, my adult life has been haunted by the Leafs' lack of success. So at this point, I'm open to any kind of changes that Mr. Dubas makes. And if it starts with the number one pick, I'm happy with that.
Okay. Well, we'll see. We'll find out around 4 o'clock or so. Okay, Kevin.
Yeah.
Thanks for doing this. We'll talk to you after round one.
Perfect. Thanks, Kelly.
There we go. There's Kevin from Iconic Electric and Controls and our crazy playoff pool. So there we go. Mr. O'Coin is the qualifying round winner. We'll get everyone's prizes out to them after it's all done, so we don't have to have people coming down to the station. We'll just mail it out to you. So just if you win, just be cool. We'll be fine. Logan?
Howdy.
What's happening?
You know, just another day in the office.
Okay. Nashville, Winnipeg, Minnesota, Edmonton from the west. Pittsburgh, Florida, Toronto, Rangers from the east. Who, not you know, shameful joy, not heartstrings because they're my second favorite team, but who deserves that kind of leg up and that first round pick? What if you got eight teams, who deserves it the most?
Who deserves it the most?
And not because you've been so stupid and so dumb that you couldn't draft properly and you've been a loser team, but someone that's
no way to talk about Edmonton, Kelly. Just say their name. Come on.
Well, there's been a few. I mean, doesn't Winnipeg deserve it? Or Nashville?
Winnipeg's an interesting one. I think that I'd be interested to see if they got it there, because they're still kind of in a contention window, but not really. You know, they were a conference final team a few years ago, but kind of need that next wave. It would be interesting to see. For me, the team is Minnesota, but Nashville is an interesting one too, because they've never really, like, I mean, since Shea Weber's gone, they haven't really had a superstar there. They're always seemingly looking for scoring, and I feel like that town would absolutely love to get their hands on a first overall pick.
Yeah. But you think of, you know, Pittsburgh, they've had obviously some amazing players through there, and Florida doesn't seem to get out of their own way, and you know, we know about Toronto and the Rangers. Yeah, Jason DeForest had something, a great point earlier today on the morning show. He said, well, I mean, the Rangers can get whoever they want anyway, because once they're free agents, everybody wants to play in Broadway anyway, so is that big of a deal? I think we're all agreement on where Edmonton's at. I think, you know, how many do you actually need? Now, the question I have, and you think I would know the answer to this, but I don't. Are they going to do, like, the reverse draw thing? Like, they've got 8 teams in the draw, right? So, yeah. Like, are they going to go, hey, picking 10th, it's going to be Winnipeg's, here you're out. I'm wondering how, is that the drama? Or are they just going to, because everybody's got an equal opportunity, so they pull one ball out, that's the winner.
I feel like
that would take 10 seconds to do that.
Yeah, I feel like that's how they, I mean, I guess it depends on how they want to build up the drama to it. Are they going to go through each one? Or are they just going to give us the one?
Do a reverse draw. It would be awesome if they did that, but I don't think they're going to do that.
Because these things always, you know, no offense to the NHL, they always drag these things out in one way or the other, right? I mean,
yeah, those flash cards.
Yeah, it's going to, you know, we're apparently going to see Gary, you know, pick the ball himself this time out of the hopper or whatever, and we'll see who's on it. Because, I mean, this one's easy. There's no combinations or anything that need to go on. This one, you all have equal chances. But maybe that's the way they do it, is they go reverse order and give us that one, and they go from there. We'll see.
Are they gonna do it like was the NBA, where they made one that was really, really cold, and, like, they froze it so David Stern would grab it? It's all the New York Knicks. They wouldn't do that, would they?
That was
legend that happened.
Yeah. I mean, if you're in this province, you might believe it's worked that way a few times for the team up north. So
this is freezing my hand. What is this?
Oh, it's
the New York Rangers. Can't believe it. That is crazy. Or I shouldn't touch that one. I thought I said I was supposed to grab the frozen one. No, you were supposed to avoid it. Right. No matter how it works, we're going to have it for you tonight. Well, this afternoon at 4:00, we'll simulcast with our partners at Sportsnet Television. I truly don't know how they're going to do this, so we're going to have Pat kind of at the ready. You and Pat will be just, you know, if you have to jump in and do a little color commentary, that'll be fine. But yeah, I don't know. If I was, I'm going to pick Winnipeg wins it, and my second choice is Nashville. What's yours?
I'll go Minnesota, Nashville.
Minnesota, Nashville. Okay. We'll find out later on today. Okay, we should take a quick break here. I do want to mention that Big Brothers, Big Sisters, All-Stars for Kids is back here this month. Great campaign, helping out all kinds of things that they do throughout Alberta. The Everyday All-Star. Donate today and support life-changing mentoring programs for kids that are facing adversity. All month long, every donation you make will be matched dollar for dollar, which is awesome. So basically, you're doubling your gift and making a big impact too. So help us out. The website, you can link off our website, or you can just go allstarsforkids.ca if you can remember that, allstarsforkids.ca. We'll take a break and hear from the Flames GM next on Hockey Central at Noon.
Hockey Central at Noon on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
It's Kelly Kirsch, Logan Gordon. Busy show here on Sportsnet 960, The Fan. Pinder and Steinberg comes at your way about a little after 1:00. We'll have Peter Klein filling in. And coming up at 4:00, it's that draft lottery. Who's going to get the number one pick? 8 teams have a chance at it. 3 of them Canadian. We got 4 from the East, 4 from the West. We'll see together what happens. Earlier today on the Eric Francis Show, which we do on Mondays, 9 to 10 right here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. We do that for Horse Racing Alberta. Well, by the way, watching a wager on Century Downs Live Horse Racing from the comfort of your own home. For info on how, all you got to do is just get on the old Google and go HPIBET.com. Just like that. Horse Racing Alberta. First thing the guys asked was how the GM thought his troops did in round number one of the qualifiers.
Well, I was really proud of our group, how we played. I know the narrative is that Winnipeg lost bodies, and that's true and all the rest of it, but all you can play is the team that's in front of you, and I thought we did a really good job of going out and playing a real hard game, making it hard on our opponent. I thought we defended extremely well. I thought we got contributions throughout the lineup, and I think in this time of year, you can't rely on one or two or three guys. You need everybody in, from the goaltender on out, and some guys get a lot of accolades for what they do offensively, and some other guys that are doing a lot of the pick and shovel work. That's not too sexy, but it helps you win, and it makes you win. We had that throughout our lineup. So really good first series. But you park it now. We enjoy it one day, and then we're back to work the next day getting ready for a really good Dallas team. You know, this is a veteran team that's been through it. They're deep. They've got top-end talent. They don't give you much. They defend really well. And they got great goaltending, so it'll be a tall task.
Brad, after one of the games, or maybe it was after the series, Mark Giordano said something I haven't heard anybody from the organization kind of admit out loud. Was that, after last year, the lesson was after Colorado that you guys got pushed around. And I know that was a theory that a lot of people had, but I never heard it internally. Do you concur with that now? Can you go public by saying, yeah, you thought that was one of the lessons against Colorado, that you did get pushed around? And to follow that up, is that the way you got to continue to play against a team that's going to definitely try to push you around again?
Well, I don't know what that means, get pushed around. No, I think that's a strange narrative when you say we got pushed around. What were the hits in that series? I think we out-hit them, right? So I think we got skated. I thought we didn't defend at all. I thought we gave up way too many chances. And I thought we just got outmatched. But in terms of pushed around, I don't understand that. I thought in this series here, I thought we've been able to, contrary to popular belief, if we go back over the course of the last 12 months in heavy games, I think we've done pretty well against them. We've had some of the most emotional games in the NHL over the course of the last 12 games. When you look at some of the games with Edmonton and some of the things we've gone through, so. No, I think we've got another year of experience under our belt. I think we've got players that really dug in that series, and really are starting to appreciate what it takes this time of year. I think we're built a little bit differently, but it's not about getting a whole bunch of new players after we get through last year. It's about our group being able to dig in and respond a certain way, and it's as much mental as it is anything else. And I thought that was the biggest difference between a year ago and what happened the first, the first series or the first round or whatever you want to call it. So, but that's we've parked that and we've moved on, and the games are only going to get heavier. And at this time of the year, they're not oil paintings. It's hard, heavy, and you need to be able to play hard and heavy hockey, and especially out west. Just look at the teams here. You got to be able to deal with the trench wars, and I think our team's a little bit better equipped to do that this year.
So you kind of alluded to it there, that Battle of Alberta. Games like that were really a really good test for you and a good way for you guys to prepare for the playoffs. Is that the way you see it?
Yeah, I mean, they're emotional games, but again, I think whether everybody gets wrapped up into all that sort of stuff, when you really dig into what helps you win at this time of the year, look at the way we defended in this first series as opposed to how we did last year, the amount of chances that we gave up. So I know people want to tie all those narratives onto certain things, but it's being able to lock things down, the intensity of the playoffs, as we all know, is so much different than the regular season. And this format is so unique in the sense that you're going to from 0 to 60. You know, you went from a training camp to, you know, one, you know, exhibition game to right into playoffs. So it's been, you know, you've really had to try to find that level as soon as you possibly can. And so I credit our guys for that. But it only gets harder from here. But certainly some of the experiences we've gone through, I think, have prepared us. The games that we play against Edmonton, those are highly emotional games. And they're games where there's not a lot of room on the ice. You've got to fight for every piece of real estate. And then you also have to be very disciplined. As we've seen through, you know, the first round, I thought if you look back at our series in Winnipeg, you know, you need to be physical and you need to bring that edge, but you have to do it in a way that you can't be sitting in the penalty box. And I thought in game two of our series, you know, we didn't handle it the smartest way. You know, we took some penalties that put a good power play on the ice and eventually led to the game-winning goal. So I think a lot of the experiences, whether games against Edmonton, a lot of the tight games that we've been played, big games that we've played in over the course of the last year or so, has better equipped and better prepared our team. Now, you know, we've got to apply those lessons, and we've got a very stiff challenge. This is a real veteran team in Dallas. Lots of guys that have been there, done that, top-end talent. And so we've got our work cut out for us. No question.
He's Brad Treliving. He's in Edmonton, about to move hotels and moving on up, as he says, to the J-Dub. I'm Eric Francis in Edmonton and staying in a far inferior hotel, of course. And he's Will Nault in his basement. I have a question for you, Brad, because we never got your thoughts on the Matthew Tkachuk hit on Mark Scheifele. I'm just going to assume that you saw it a little differently than Paul Maurice did.
Yeah, and you know, I just felt, quite frankly, I had to bite my lip listening to Paul's comments, and Peter Hanlon had me restrained because I did want to comment and protect my player here, but we also understood what Paul was trying to do, right? There's gamesmanship at this time of the year. Nobody wants to see a top player go down, and certainly you never want to see it on your team. And I know the frustration and, you know, the rage that goes through you when that happens. So I get where Paul's coming from in terms of protecting his player, but I disagreed with it. And saying that, I don't know outside of the province of Manitoba if there's a bigger Paul Maurice fan, but I thought he was completely wrong in his assessment of the play. And, you know, I think it was a little bit of gamesmanship at that time of the year. And, you know, I thought it was over the line, quite frankly. So, and obviously everybody agreed as the league in terms of the play. I get the emotion at this time of the year. But it certainly was, you know, it's an unfortunate play, but certainly nothing that was intentional or, you know, some of the adjectives that Paul used to describe the hit, I would completely disagree with. But, you know, you never want to see top guys go down. Anybody go down. Never mind top guys. You never want to see any player get injured. And certainly that was a factor in the series. We're talking about two really good players. But, you know, at the end of the day, we play the games that are in front of us against the people that are in front of us. But I understood the emotion of it, but disagreed with the assessment of it.
Okay, now that's a perfect segue for me to ask about, can you just comment on the similarities that you see between the game of Corey Perry and Matthew Tkachuk? I mean, I know they're at different stages of their career, but I think it's pretty clear that a lot of people have drawn, you know, similar conclusions about the two players. Can you kind of comment on that?
Well, both are high-end competitors, right? I mean, both are very, very competitive people. You know, obviously they played junior in the same location. It's a pretty good junior team. And both won a Memorial Cup. So there has been a similar path, if you will. But, you know, both of them play on that edge. Both of them walk that line. But, you know, what probably doesn't get talked enough about for both players, and as you said, Corey's you know, Corey's been doing this a long time. And I you know, talking with people here after our first series, and I, as you guys know, covering our team every day, what doesn't get talked about Matthew enough is just how good of a player he is. You know, the stuff where he gets caught up and, you know, he plays on the edge, he straddles that line, and it's what makes him unique and what makes him really effective. And you know, you guys know over the years we've never tried to, you know, get him to settle down or whatever you want to do it. That's what makes him a unique player. Now, you want him to stay on the right side of it as much as you possibly can. But what doesn't get talked enough about is just how talented he is. He's got exceptional vision. He's an elite playmaker. He sees the ice. His hockey brain and his hockey smarts are off the charts. And he's got a great set of hands. So, you know, and that's not unlike Corey Perry. Corey Perry, I think, led the league in scoring one year in terms of goals. He can shoot the puck. He's got great vision, great hockey sense. Those guys that play down around the paint, they're hard to contain, but they think the game very, very high level. So, you know, I think they're both going to be, as I call it, right in the fabric of the game, right in the meat, you know, right in the guts of the game. And Matthew's a really important player for us, and Corey will be somebody we have to contend with on the other side. But they're both competitors, and their handprints will probably be all over the series for sure.
Yes, face washes, handprints, whatever you want to call it. Your best line. I'm curious what you look back at that first series and think, what was your best line? I know it was a complete effort, and it's like picking your favorite son or daughter. But can you pinpoint one that you thought was your best line?
I don't know if I'd sit here, Eric, and say here's the best line of the series. I think we had what made us a good team in that series is we had all four lines were contributing in certain ways. So that's what you need this time of year. When you're able to, as an opposition, focus on one line or one player, or, you know, a combination or two players, you become an easier team to defend, an easier team to match. I thought at times, obviously, Bennett, Lucic, and Dubé, I thought had a huge impact on the game and on the series. And sometimes your best line isn't just lines that produce offense, although they did. But I thought they were a handful to deal with. They've got a lot of bite. They can get on a forecheck and make life difficult. They've got speed. And so they've got sort of a combination of everything. I thought they were real good. I thought the Backlund line, was dangerous. I thought Monty's line, they did their thing and were dangerous. And I thought, you know, our fourth line contributed. You know, those guys, in a lot of ways, contribute on special teams with penalty killing. But I thought they gave us real good momentum shifts, held pucks in the offensive zone. Again, brought a little bite and speed. So I think everybody contributed. And we're going to need that and more here for the next series.
Okay, final question. I appreciate your time. Johnny Gaudreau left that last game with 4 minutes to go after colliding with Nikolaj Ehlers, holding his right hand. Has he been skating with the team every day since? And do you anticipate he'll start the series?
He's been skating every day. I gave him a good fist bump after the game. I wish I was doing as good as Johnny Gaudreau is right now. He's been doing great, and he's all set to roll. So no issues there. He got a little bit of a stinger, but nothing of any issue. Fight, 2 minutes. He was ready to come back in the game, quite frankly, and then we scored a couple of the empty net goals. But he's there's no ill effects for sure.
There you go. Brad Treliving, general manager of the Calgary Flames, on the Eric Francis show earlier today with Will Nault and Eric Francis. A little update from the GM on Johnny Gaudreau there at the end. Sounds like he'll be good to go for game one tomorrow against the Dallas Stars. Brad Treliving with some comments about Paul Maurice's comments. A little bit of everything in there from the Flames GM. Not much time to breathe now. It's game one tomorrow Flames and Stars. We'll break it all down this afternoon, plus the NHL draft lottery at 4 o'clock. Which team will select first overall? We'll find out. We'll carry it live for you here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. All that and more coming up right after this. Peter Klein joins the program to kick off Pinder and Steinberg here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.